Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John, and boy, do we have an action-packed show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, and thanks to all the folks who have come to the website today, sent us messages and everything. Our special guest tonight is none other than the world-famous, all over the world, Greg Bo Watson. I say that
What's up, guys,
that way
Miguel?
Because, hey, Greg Bo, and we are joined so far tonight by the one and only world-famous, all over the world, and in the ring, Papa Stro Maestro. How you doing?
Great to be here. Hey, guys.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad to have you guys. We should be having some other folks join us here in a little bit, and we're going to get started. Tonight, earlier this week, I was on the phone with Greg Bo. I've known Greg Bo for years from Comic-Cons, and what a fine fellow he is. What a talented artist. And he told me about...
The check's in the mail for saying that, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you very much. I hope it has lots of zeros. But anyway,
it's got a zero in it, but go ahead.
There you go. There's some of that easily humor. Anyway, what happened was Greg Bo told me about this incredible excursion that he and Misty had to the UFO Welcome Center, world famous all over the galaxy. So I said, Greg Bo, it is time to have you on the show to tell everybody about that and what you're doing. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the great projects you're working on. You are truly one of the finest comic book notwithstanding.
Oh,
you're one of the finest artists I've met. Tell us what you're working on right now.
Well, first off, I really appreciate it. And, John, you know it's always good talking and hanging out with you, and I always love every chance I get to hang out and talk with Stro, too. Well, I've been working on a lot of stuff. You know, one thing I'm working on, my book, The Jill Tales. Always working on some top-secret projects here and there for Zenoscope, and then my ongoing print series that I put out, and I have at my con appearances. And we just got back from a show, as a matter of fact, down in Charleston, South Carolina, this past weekend. We're taking a break this weekend, and then the next weekend we're going to be down at Captain's Comics in Charleston, South Carolina. And so my con season is getting as hectic as it normally does. But, you know, it's interesting about the UFO Center. you and I were talking on the phone, you know, just going about our daily, you know, just talking back and forth, different projects, different things we had in the works. And if you remember, you had to go for a little bit. I was waiting for you to call me back. And we were actually, Misty and I were on the road. And we passed Bowman, South Carolina. And in Bowman, South Carolina, apparently there is a UFO Welcome Center. Okay, so, you know, naturally I'm thinking, all right, you know, this is going to be like some, you know, really big to-do, big deal, you know. But it just blew my mind that in South Carolina we had a UFO Welcome Center. So Misty's like, hey, you want to go check it out? Sure. We drive down the road. We pass this thing. And we literally park in the vacant lot across from the UFO Welcome Center. And that's about
now,
the
Greg
time
Bo,
you called me back.
Yeah. Now, first of all, Greg Bo, tell us where Bowman, South Carolina is located.
Well, all I can tell you is it's in between here and Charleston, South Carolina. We stay on the road a good bit. I'm going to guess it's somewhere about dead in between Charleston, South Carolina and Columbia, South Carolina. And when you called me back, if you remember, I picked up and I said, hey, John, there's a guy standing out in the front yard waving at me. I got to go. And I'll call you back.
And I knew something was up.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because we were just going to park at the little vacant lot across the street and take some pictures because apparently what the UFO Welcome Center consists of is this guy back in the early 90s, apparently decided to build a flying saucer in his yard in the middle of Bowman, South Carolina. Now, from what I saw, there was nothing else in Bowman, South Carolina, except this giant saucer. And it was, I mean, it was a charming little town, you know, one of these sleepy little storybook-looking towns you see, you know. But right in the middle of this town was a giant flying saucer. So we were just going to take pictures of the thing. So this guy comes out, is waving at us from across the street. So after I hung up with you, me and Misty cautiously get out of the car, and we look across the street, and here's this guy, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and he waves us over. Sweetest guy in the world. Tells us, welcome, Earthlings. We asked us what planet we were from.
Well, he got that one right.
Yeah, pretty much, right? And some days I don't even know what planet I'm from, so it was a hard question to answer. So we get out, and we start talking to the guy, and he's taking us around, and he's showing us this thing. And lo and behold, literally, he has built this thing out of every possible recycled piece of material he could find. And, you know, most people, like if somebody told me a guy built a flying saucer out in his yard, yeah, I'm going to think about the size of a kid's playhouse at best. This thing, guys, was three stories. I mean, it's bigger than his house.
Wow.
So Misty and I got in, and through he gave us the grand tour on the inside. And through going up ladders, stairs, around little ramps and corners inside this thing, we ended up getting to the very tip top of the ship. And, John, you saw the pictures, man. This was the oddest thing I've ever seen. It just completely and totally blew my mind. And what makes it even more incredible is I don't know how I've missed this thing before, because apparently on all the lists of South Carolina, it's all of the top 10 roadside destinations in the state. And I must have driven by this thing, gosh, 100 times in my travels to cons. Never stopped. But I'm going to tell you, it was one of the funnest times we've had. This guy was a true character. I mean, he not only did he envision and build this thing himself, but he either stayed in character or he fully believed. I don't know which is which, but you know, we had a good time nonetheless. He told us the story of him building it, how many people have come by, and literally when we got there, one person was driving off, and as we left, somebody was driving up right behind us. So I can't tell you exactly how many visitors he gets down there, but this thing was just out of the world incredible. And he was also building a new project while we were down there, and we got to see right beside the big flying saucer. And I'm not sure what the name of this children's toy is, but I'm going to describe it, and one of you guys may know the actual name of it. He told us, but it kind of got lost on me. It almost looks like an accordion. It's small, and you get them like Toys R Us anywhere, and you pull it out, and it goes from being a small little box to it expands like 4 or 5 feet.
Was it like a xylophone?
Yeah, it was kind of like a xylophone, but it was this. It was almost like, you remember the Rubik's cubes and puzzles like that? It was one of these things that was built like that, but it was built out of these geometric shapes, and it could fold in and be very small. But I've seen them in the kids' stores where, you know, they may be about 5 or 6 inches wide, but when you expand them, they're like 4 or 5 feet. This guy has built a giant one in his yard and says he's going for the Guinness World Record. This thing was 17 feet across, closed. So when that thing is open, there's no telling how wide that thing's going to be. But this guy just blew my mind. I mean,
he sounds like someone. We need to get to meet him. We need to try to have a Comic-Con Stars and Conspiracy Theories 101 event down there at the UFO Welcome Center. Papa Strode, does that sound like something we might want to do?
Fascinating.
I'll tell you, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of fun. I mean, that's – well, you know, Stroh's sitting there saying, you know, fascinating. That's kind of what I was saying the whole time, just repeating to myself. Because this guy, when you get up close to it, you can sit there and see that this thing's made out of basically anything the guy could find or was donated to him. But, you know, people might give a laugh about it, but I was telling Nisi on the way back, I said, you know, I really thought this was cool. Because how many people, regardless of how strange, have a dream in their life or something that comes to them, an idea, and they say, oh, you know, one day, I'm going to fix that bookshelf. I'm going to go out there and plant a garden. This guy one day said, I'm going to build a spaceship. And I'll be darned if the guy didn't plus it and build a three-story spaceship in his front yard. It just blew my mind.
All right.
Stroh
said
something to see.
Yeah, Stroh said, what was the word that you used? Fascinating? I'll say I can't wait to see it in person and get some pictures, and lo and behold, maybe it will take off. Maybe not.
Well, I'll tell you.
Now that would be something.
The guy – well, what got me, though, guys, what got me is, you know, when you go to Disney World – and the characters, you know, the people dressed as the characters, they teach them to stay in character. I mean, you cannot have a conversation with them, oh, nice costume. No, they will talk. If you're talking to somebody dressed like Jack Sparrow, he's going to talk to you and respond like he is Jack Sparrow. This guy firmly believed that this thing, he talked as if this thing was going to be capable of space travel. Now, I know, or I'd like to think, that he's putting me on, but either way, it made for an interesting Sunday afternoon.
Maybe he's like Randy Quaid in Independence Day, wants some payback.
Well, let me tell you something. That thing goes up there flying after one of them ships. But you know, Stroh, it's odd that you mentioned that, because he was sitting there, and when I was talking to him, he said he had started building the first part of it, right, which was just going to be like a one level, like a regular spaceship. And he actually went to see Independence Day. And he said, I saw the ships and it scared me to death. So I came back and I built additions. And I'm like, oh, boy, you know.
Oh, wow.
But this is just like, you know, one of those trips coming back from a con. You never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to see. I had heard tale of this place, nothing else. This is all I heard, that South Carolina had an official UFO welcome center. And lo and behold, if you go and type it into Google or one of the other search engines, it will come up as one of the top 10 roadside destinations in South Carolina. So – I guess I was assuming, you know, because I'm used to, you know, I mean, Stroh, you know, traveling city to city and everything, you know, when you go to a new city, you expect to see, like, you know, you go in, there's the welcome centers and stuff, and there's these real nice government-sponsored heat, you know, snacks, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had something like that in mind. This just blew my mind. I mean, the guy sat there and said to himself one day, I'm going to build a spaceship. And I'll be danged. He actually went out there, you know, put the creative pedal to the metal and built one.
Wow.
So we enjoyed the heck out of it.
I would.
Now, is there any charge to go inside?
No. You know, I saw recommended, you know, naturally to tip the guy. And I thought, too, I'm like, you know, if this guy's going to take time, let people come out in his yard. And he didn't just let us go just walk around. He gave us a tour. He's the sweetest guy, nicest guy.
Oh.
And, I mean, he took us around. He climbed through it with us because, you know, he built it. He wanted to make sure we were safe climbing around in there. Really nice guy. Told us the story. Also, it was kind of educating because – he would kind of go in and out of the spiel, like this is a spacecraft type thing, to actually talking about, you know, historical NASA launches and things like that. So he's talking about this stuff when he's in the yard, walking us through this thing. And anybody that's going to take his time and do it, I could just tell this guy just really was passionate, really loved it. So, you know, what people recommend, and that's what I did, you know, you tip him. You tip him. He's got a little box up there that says donations, but I just handed the guy,
yeah,
you know, some money for taking the time because, you know, we had just planned to just, you know, take a picture from a vacant lot. So, because when we read up on it, it said, when we start heading that way and we read up on it, it said, this is something somebody built and is in their front yard. And they described the guy and they said, look, if you see it and you go see it and you're going to want to go do a tour of it, just go and politely knock on the guy's door. Okay. Now, this is the South.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Sunday afternoon, going traipsing across somebody's yard, going to go knock on somebody's door, you know, you don't want to give them a good jolt or something. So I was kind of a little trepidatious about doing that. So we were just going to take the picture from the little vacant lot. And lo and behold, this guy's standing out there talking to somebody in a bright Hawaiian print shirt, and he sees us, and he can tell, I guess, because so many people have come by, probably did what we did, pulled into that lot just to take a picture, kind of, you know, being cautious and whatnot. And the guy, as friendly as he could be, stayed in the yard, didn't approach the car, just waved at us, and then kind of signaled us like, yeah, come on over, it's me, it's okay, come on over. And then just took us on a tour of this thing. We stayed probably, you wouldn't think you could do this when you see it, but we stayed probably about 30, 45 minutes going around through this thing.
Wow.
I mean, he let us climb all the way to the top. Misty climbed all the way in the top. I was on the second tier. And he even built portals, little hatches that you can open and climb out of. And he was walking around on the outside of the ship. And I took a picture from one of the portals. Misty's got me climbing through a portal in one of the pictures. I've got a picture of her and that guy. She's leaning out of the very top portal, and he's standing on the side of the ship, and they're making the live long and prosper symbol. So it's pretty wild.
That is. That's great.
And he's got a huge metal wall going around this thing, right? And on the outside of it, he's got like aliens spray painted on it. It looks like somebody, you know, graffitied it up. It's got aliens spray painted on it, and it actually says, you know, official alien welcome center. And then it says, no humans allowed, humans stay out, aliens only. And when you pull up,
oh, wow,
he will ask you, that's why he asks you what planet you're from. And, you know,
okay,
of course, you know, it was me and Misty, so I was going to say Mars and Venus, but me kind of getting out and being shooken by it, I reversed them. I said I was from Venus and she was from Mars, and I got corrected by Bondi. So, you know, but that's just me. But, you know, the whole time, Stro, I was kind of like you are, man. I mean, because normally I can just, you just tell me to talk, and I'll just, just keep talking. And, you know, I kind of sound like Roddy Piper and Jim Cornette had a kit. You know, it's like, and just talking. So,
you had me at the Hawaiian shirt.
Well, it's just too cool, man, because I'm walking around just speechless. I'm just like, this is fascinating. You know, just fascinating over and over and over. And then when we left, The guy said, what galaxy are you from? How far did you travel? And then,
we
told him. He just went right on with it. And then as we left the property, he said, you know, good luck on your travels back to your home system. And all. It was an experience. And
wow,
anybody that's got 30 minutes to kill, you're in the car for a long time, you know, it's like a 3.5-4 hour drive for us down to the show down there. So, you know, we were kind
of it almost sounds like
one
of Conehead. Dan Aykroyd.
Yes. And to see the guy, Stro, there's a picture on yes. There's a picture of the guy on my Facebook. You have to check it out. I'm telling you. It's insane. And when you see the pic of the guy, right, everything I'm saying will come into full focus. You will be able to it's like, what in the world? And I was thinking the whole time what I'd gotten myself into, because at first I wasn't sure. I was like, man, is this guy playing with me? about, you know, this thing about a fly off, because he said something to us when we were about halfway up on deck two of the ship. He said something to me about, you know, the problem that the Columbia had, and he was eating breakfast, and he saw it on the news, and then he got worried about his ship, and then he ran out and did some repairs to his ship, and I'm looking at him, I'm going, how much of this is story and adding to the experience, and how much of this is like just off the rails? Am I staring into the mind? Am I staring into the eyes of pure genius or pure madness? Which one? Or somewhere in between?
Or have you just met a space alien?
You know what? He hasn't written a book. But I'll tell you, I've got a book over here that's called Weird Carolinas.
Right.
It's called Weird Carolinas. It's got all kind of cool roadside things and facts and all that stuff about North South Carolina. And oddly enough, guess who's in there?
Him. He is. All right.
Yes. So it just blew my mind. But I'd recommend it to anybody go check this thing out.
Oh, definitely.
I'm speechless, Greg Bo. This is a wonderful story, and it is. And today, with the awareness of UFOs being at an all-time high, conspiracy theories abounding, pictures of UFOs all over YouTube. I mean, it's just amazing what you're telling us, and I'm so glad to find out about it. That's one reason, you know, I wanted you on too.
Well, two funny little side note anecdotes about this is you got to keep in mind that, first off, not too long ago, about a month or so ago, and John, you know, I was mentioning this to you a couple of months back, that I just finished up. I did the commercial. I did all the art for the commercial for X-Files. You know, I had X-Files on the brain going down here. And then Blondie, my girlfriend Misty, I call her Blondie, scared to death of aliens. The little green ones.
Wow.
Scared of them. Not even like the scary aliens from like the movie Aliens or something. It's the little green ones with the big heads and the big almond-shaped eyes.
Yeah.
Just scares her witless.
Mm.
All right.
So going around this thing, she's facing her fear.
I feel like it should be Bill Murray on the psychic show on Ghostbusters 2 at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, exactly.
It all could be one big lizard.
yes. And what's hilarious is, you know how all the stuff in the Ghostbusters movies, you know, all their equipment, all that stuff for the film is kitbashed, right? Okay. This whole thing is like one giant kitbash. I mean, the portals on the ship, right?
Yeah.
And there's a picture, again, one of the pictures on my Facebook page is Misty up in the – got all these little portals, and the sun's coming in through the portals, so the portals actually look like she's in space and it's lit up. And it was pure genius, but you know what the portals were made of? Clear pie plates.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like – this thing was just – I mean, just flat out incredible. But y'all have anytime y'all are in that neck of the woods, y'all have got to stop and see this thing.
You didn't actually see anything come out of those portals, did you?
Only him, and I'm not really sure about him, Stro. Because I'm not so sure he's not an alien. You know? And when you see the picture, you'll know. I mean, his personality, you know, it's rare, right? You see pictures of somebody, and then you meet them, and you're like, oh, you know, that person's a lot more gregarious in person, or that person's a lot more timid in person than I would have thought from the photo. No, this guy's right on in the photo.
I mean, pun intended,
you see the photo, you could pick this guy out from space.
Oh, wow.
Well, Dr. John is going to plan a Comic-Con Stars and Conspiracy Theories excursion down to the UFO Welcome Center. I'm going to call the fellow. I've checked out. There's a phone number there, and I'm going to call him and see if we can't do a live show from truly what might be the center of the universe? We don't know.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Usually you don't see a UFO welcome center outside of, like, New Mexico, out there on the extraterrestrial highway and everything. So for there to be one in the middle of South Carolina, Bowman no less, and when I say that, nothing against Bowman. Bowman was a beautiful little town, but it was one of these sleepy little southern towns, right? Mm-hmm. People out walking, you know, just like a normal, sweet, beautiful, scenic southern town, a little small town. And then a big spaceship. What am I in for?
I guess if the mess ever hits the fan, we know to go to South Carolina, right?
That's exactly right. Because I told Misty, I said, when we were driving away, I wonder what this guy would do if, when the aliens finally come down land, make contact, if they came there. I mean, because this guy would be like, I'm not kidding you, inside this spaceship, he's got everything. There's a toilet in there.
Oh, wow.
There's a flat screen TV in there. I mean, the whole thing. And as we're going in, we're walking up the ramp, you know, and he says, he flicks on, he goes, first off, he shows the toilet. He's like, well, this is the toilet, you know, so, you know, for our alien visitors. And then over here, so they'll have some entertainment, here's the television. And I'm sitting here and I'm just going, you know, either this is going to be fascinating and I'm going to have a great story to tell, or I'm going to text Junior real quick and he's going to know where to come down and find my body.
You almost expected to talk back to you and say, good morning, Dave.
I did. But, you know the character, you know the characters, just like, you know, like Randy Quaid's character, or I'll tell you what he was, Stro, because we were talking a minute ago about Independence Day. He was a cross between Randy Quaid's character and then the scientist character played by the guy who played Data on Star Trek. You know what I'm talking about.
I was going to ask you if he was crazy like he was.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the guy, he's sweet as he could be, and you could see he was good-hearted, and he was just a creative guy, which anybody knows me, I know I'm all for. And just as creative as he could be, super proud of this thing, which he should have been. And because anybody who would scoff at this thing, I'm telling you, how many times have you thought about doing something and you're like, put it off? This guy thought about something, and a month later, he's got a spaceship in his yard. I mean, and people are pulling up from all over the place to hand this guy money to go to the spaceship. So I'm sitting there, and I get back, and I'm trying to convince Junior, my son, and sitting there telling Junior what's going on, and I can see his eyes. And before I finished the story, I had to stop in the middle and say, Junior, you're not building a spaceship in our front yard. I can see him doing that and then sitting outside as a gimmick, you know, with his hand out, drinking some lemonade and waiting for people to pull up and hand him a 20 or something, you know? I mean, this was...
I could see you talking to him like B-50 Justice and Smoking the Bandit. Junior, you ain't going to build no spaceship now. Don't tell your mom.
That's exactly... Anybody knows us knows that's practically how I talk to Junior anyway. I'm just sitting there telling him, I'm like, no, this is not happening. I'm just going to let you know. But then I got to thinking, knowing Junior, he'd get about halfway through building the spaceship and he'd be like, it's too hard. And just take off.
Yeah, right.
So I'd have the world's only half a welcome center. You know? It'd be like just a big, I'd have to call it, because like he wouldn't put the top on the saucer or whatever. So I'd call it like, come to Easley, South Carolina to see the world's largest soup bowl in my front yard.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, I mean, this thing, I'm telling you, man, anybody wants to see the photos, you know, they're all over my Facebook. You know, Stro, Dr. John, y'all feel free to share it onto the page and everything. It's
okay. I can't wait.
It was an incredible journey. It was an incredible journey. I mean, I hope I'm I sincerely, when I mean this when I say it, I sincerely hope I'm in that neck of the woods when y'all are and decide to go, because I will go with you because this thing was incredible.
Well, Greg, Bo, you know what's going to happen. I'll get everyone coordinated, and we'll all go down there. We're going to bring whole – if he'll let us, we'll bring a ton of people. I had envisioned at one time doing a UFO con. And,
wow.
You know, it's just one of the things that I've always been interested in. And, in fact, I registered a domain name last year called theufocon.com, and I just checked. It's still there. And this is just entirely consistent with what I like. So this is just amazing. All right, I've got some amazing facts. Can I tell those amazing facts? You told a story about the story. Yep, I've got some amazing facts about the paranormal in general in the Carolinas. It's in,
wow.
and just right across the way in Virginia. We are the home. Of in Virginia Beach, we have the home of Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet, who was credited doing over 61st Avenue and Atlantic. I've been there many times. The people are wonderful. They have all of his readings, cataloged and everything, and it's just great. You can go up there, and it's a great time. So then you come on down, take Interstate 40 over to Durham. And there is the Rhine Research Center, started by J.B. Rhine in the 40s, where they study ESP, they study remote viewing, they study all kinds of things. It's quite a scientific and wonderful organization. To this day, they're still raising funds, producing research papers, putting on educational programs. I've had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Sally Rhine Feather, which was J.B. Rhine's daughter. She's a friend of mine.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful spot for psychical research. I believe that's exactly what they say. Move on down to Myrtle Beach. Nobody would ever think that anything interesting like this would happen in Myrtle Beach, but we have the Mayer Spiritual Center. The holy man from India came over here in the, I believe, late 40s or early 50s, and the only spot that he stepped in North America was Myrtle Beach, and the most beautiful 500 acres in this entire area is called the Mayer Spiritual Center. It's between North and South Myrtle Beach. You can go there, register. They have a library with all of his works. I like going out there. It's one of the most beautiful nature preserves ever. Then, of course, we have the UFO Welcome Center now in Bowman. And then last but not least, we can't forget this. And I know both of you have seen it. You passed by it, and you never knew what it really was. Greg, Bo, have you been by south of the border?
Only once, believe this
in
or
Dillon,
not.
In Dillon, South Carolina.
And when I did, ironically, oddly enough, it was on my way to your show.
Okay. And, all right, so have you ever been by south of the border? Do you know what that is? Have we lost Papa Stroh?
What was that?
I thought the aliens had taken you, Stroh.
Yeah, we thought.
No,
the aliens.
I didn't know which one. I didn't know who he was talking to at first. What was the question again?
Yeah. Papa Stroh, have you ever seen south of the border?
Oh yeah, anytime.
Okay, well, south of the border, you know, the legend is that sombrero that's on top of the ladder. That's really not. Really not a tourist attraction. That's really an alien spaceship sitting out for everyone to see.
Wow.
Okay? And then there's one more. And, Greg, Bo, you probably see this all the time when you head up to Charlotte, and that is the Peachoid in Gaffney.
Oh, yeah.
The Peachoid in Gaffney, and there is at least one movie script where that is written in as an alien base. So we go from the incredible to the we go from the incredible, which is the Edgar Cayce Center, the Rhine Institute, the Mayer Spiritual Center, and then of course we have the incredible and unbelievable. And then they're all in South Carolina, of course. I mean, you know, south of the border, UFO Welcome Center in the Peach Orchard. But, you know, we've got a great state. Now, by the way, is that Dave Atwell that has joined us?
Yes, sir. Been listening in on the background, listening to all your interesting tales and everything. Yeah, everything's going great. I appreciate you excusing my tardiness. I have a note from Mom.
you have a note? Well, that's all right. You don't need to care. I know that when I was in high school, I had an entire wallet full of excuses from the music department, so I could always get back into class whenever I needed to. But so you don't need to use one of those wonderful excuses tonight. We're glad to have you back in with us. And you know, folks, we do live in a state with a lot of rich and wonderful culture. We've got, in fact, Sherman Carmichael is an author. He is from near Florence. He's from Johnsonville, and he has written a book called UFOs Over South Carolina. And he chronicles over 2,000 UFO sightings. It's really kind of unbelievable. So we've got a lot going on here. And now that we've got Dave and everybody here, I've asked everybody if they would come up and report to us their favorite UFO story or conspiracy theory, since we do conspiracy theories on here, and we just talked about the great UFO Welcome Center. I wanted to – who wants to go first with their favorite UFO conspiracy theory? Don't be shy.
I'm running through my mind trying to think which is my favorite. That's the problem.
Okay.
Well,
let's see.
I can tell you a personal experience myself.
Oh, I like that.
That would be perfect. Let's hear it.
Matter of fact, it was so surreal. It was almost like being in that scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, rather, with Richard Dreyfuss, where he's driving a truck and he's taking lights on the back of his truck that gets another vehicle, but the lights go up. Well, I had a similar experience on the road one time. I'm driving along and I'm thinking, you know, I see lights in the back of me. I think it's a vehicle, right? So I think nothing of it. And next thing you know, I see my rear view, these lights are going up. And I look up in the sky, and I see something I've never seen before in my life. I mean, you couldn't really – it wasn't really fully detailed because it was dead at night. But, I mean, it was like assorted lights, and whatever it was huge. And it hovered over my vehicle, and I just went up way up in the sky, and that was it, you know. But from what little I saw of it, I never seen anything like it. I knew it wasn't a plane or a helicopter or anything like that. It was something like unlike anything I've ever seen. That's pretty much all I could say about that. I mean, the structure and everything was unlike anything I've ever seen. From what little I could see of it. But it just blew my mind.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Greg Bill, have you finally sorted out one that you really like?
Well, I have a lot of time, you know, I watch this stuff all the time. I'm into this stuff just like you guys are. So I've got so many. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with kind of break the mold a little bit and go again with a personal story. But this is one from way back when I was a kid, and it was a hoax that got everybody up in my area up here in the upstate, picking South Carolina, as a matter of fact, all up in arms. You know, nowadays we have the drones. I mean, that's all you ever hear about, drone this, drone that. You know, everybody's buying a drone. You know, heck, they're in the Super Bowl commercials, all that kind of stuff, the halftime show. So drones are pretty commonplace nowadays. Well, way back before there's any kind of drone or even the reliable, you know, remote control helicopters. My uncle one time when I was little, he had read somewhere, because he always liked me and like you guys was into the UFOs and all that. So he read this thing. So we waited till dark, right? And we got a bunch of straws, a plastic bag, and some birthday candles and some straight pins. And we made a little frame, circular frame, use the pins to attach, you know, the underside of the paper bag, I mean the plastic bag, I'm sorry, clear plastic bag. And then when the pins, where the pins came through on the underside, we stuck candles down on top of each one of those pins, lit the candles, and, you know, the hot air, it lifted. And it would spin as it was going up, you know, naturally because it had all the candles all on different sides. I mean, you know, there's a ton of candles on this thing. So this thing was spinning, and they were getting calls all over the place. Because, you know, you didn't have drones and stuff like that back then. And even if you did, nobody was going to be flying it in the middle of Pickens, South Carolina. So that was kind of a funny little hoax from back then. That was meant as an experiment and kind of scared everybody to death.
An experiment that kind of went an interesting direction.
All right. It went horribly wrong, John, horribly wrong.
Well, that's all right. Dave, you got a UFO story for us?
No, sir, not really. I mean, when it comes down to the whole UFO thing, of course, I'm terrified of the aliens from Uranus. We all know that. I had to get that joke in. That joke never gets old.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got to have that later if you want.
Hemorrhoids, not humanoids.
Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly. It's like asteroids. You got asteroids? No, my dad does. He can hardly sit down. But, you know, the thing is about with the whole UFO phenomenon and everything, number one, we can't possibly know everything that's out there. And the law of averages, you know, you hear numbers don't lie. You can't tell me that we are the one place in the expansive universe that has any type of life. It's just not, doesn't make number sense. There's got to be something out there, be it a plant, be it an animal, be it ET. It doesn't matter. There's got to be something out there, and we just don't know. We'll never know. And maybe we weren't meant to know, you know. But truth be told, my thing is the government, and, of course, you know, I'm not going to get on the kick of big government, small government, but sometimes folks just got to be protected from themselves. And they always say 10% of the iceberg is above the surface of the water. You've got to wonder what is known and just not spoken for the fact of all these folks out here that are having a hard time just getting to work every day, if they were to have any type of knowledge of that stuff. So, I mean, it, God knows what kind of panic or pandemonium it would create. So I guess my biggest question about the whole UFO slash alien thing is, you know, just how much do we know? How much can we verify? So
just like Tommy Lee Jones said in Men in Black, he said, a person is smart, but people are reckless, crazy, and out of control. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what was the, gosh, I'm trying to remember, Ralph, the radio host that did the, and that's the rest of the story, Ralph Emery? No, that's not right.
Yes.
That is right. You remember how he said when he was passing away, he had said that his only regret is the fact that he was born too soon to see the advances in modern medicine? That's kind of how I feel on this. You know, I was born in 70, so though I'm not too awful long in the tooth, I'm getting there. And all the stuff that's happening now, gosh, man, just to think I had another, you know, had been born in 90 instead of 70, just how much more we'd be able to see would be incredible. Because, I mean, we've got stuff on, I mean, we're landing stuff on Saturn's moons now. So,
yes,
you know, there's no
are,
telling
man.
What's going on in the future.
It's incredible. I think of that all the time. And, you know, being a child of the 70s myself, I was born in 72. So I'm almost ready for the cane too there, my friend. So, but
yep.
You know, get the lawn chair ready and yell, "Kids, get out of my yard!"
Yeah, slow down.
But
slow down.
Yeah,
slow down.
But you know, one of the things we were just talking about this weekend. You know, when I was talking about the UFO Center earlier, one of the things, I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it did spark a lot of you know, long commentary between me and Blondie on the way home. And one of the things I've always been just enamored with is the fact of, you know, anybody who looks at it with common sense, and this is my opinion, technology has made such advances in such a quick period of time. And, you know, just since, for example, the crash in Roswell, et cetera, we've just made so many technological advances in such a short amount of time, faster than any other period in history. And there's technologies that just overnight popped up, just overnight. So,
right.
You know, that's just some weird stuff. So I'm curious as to going along a little bit about what you're saying about how much we know, how much we can handle, how much we're being told. I'm wondering how much that, you know, with, you know, any crash recovery or anything like that, or anything that's landed, crashed into or whatever that we've recovered, you know, some scientists somewhere, I'm sure they've gotten some things to work and kind of leached the technology and the stuff that we're using nowadays that we'd never even know and never realize. But what I wonder about too is, I can guarantee you it was probably only a fraction of what's yet to be discovered just off the things that may or may not have been recovered so far. You guys ever think about that?
Easily.
It would be cool if the aliens did like disco music, though. That would be kind of...
That would be awesome.
We could give them Travolta. Awesome. Here, keep this guy.
No. He
come back.
Some of the aliens just play like disco balls. You never know, you know.
Hey, we don't know. Maybe that's where the idea from the disco ball came from.
Right.
Right.
And the other thing is, in a way, an alien life form doesn't have to be a little green guy with the antenna sticking out of his head, or a little brown guy with a long neck eating Reese's Pieces. An alien life form could be anything from an insect to a plant to an amoeba, you name it. And, that's the whole thing with this Mars gig that really has my ears perking up. And, again, it goes back to what I was saying about maybe being too old for the situation. But, I mean, who's to say that Mars wasn't Earth and something happened? You know what I mean? And quite possibly
I do.
Something
yeah.
ended up here, you know?
Well, you know, I do. And that, you know, that's things that I've oftentimes thought about myself. And then also, I mean, you start getting into, you know, all these different theories like, you know, whether aliens that visit us are for aliens from another planet, or if even we've gone so far into the future, time travel and back to the past, and maybe some of these aliens that we see are actually time travelers from the future.
And they're
coming
maybe
back. That, I mean, there's
maybe that's where that guy's from that you met. You know, he's from the future and he just ran out of gas with his spaceship.
I think he is, man. I'm telling you, he reminded me of Reverend Jim off Taxi. I'm really dating myself
yeah,
now, but
oh,
you guys don't know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, it was
that's
just like, if you miss Taxi, go to the UFO Center and you can hang out with Reverend Jim.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, that's true. Let me give you my UFO story, and it's a very odd one. As a lot of people know, I really believe in the Mandela effect, that there are alternate timelines, and some of us might be in a different timeline. I have a distinct memory of walking into my bedroom when I was about 4 years old, and I saw sitting in my window a large silver guy and a small silver guy. And they smiled at me. And all three of you know the difference between a memory that, you know, something that you create in your head and something that you can see that really happened to you. Do what, Greg Bo, you know what I mean, right?
I know exactly what you mean.
Stro, you know what I mean, right? My problem with that little incident is that there was so much going on back then that nobody wanted to talk about. And my parents all of a sudden were always very guarded about
UFOs and everything and never wanted to talk about it until they were driving me back from college one evening, and we all three saw a green cigar-shaped UFO above Morganton, North Carolina. We stopped, we looked at it, and then we just got back on the highway, and we just kept going on, and that one never got mentioned. And I always wondered why they were so guarded about everything when I had this memory of the two silver guys in my room at the old house. And I remember it. I wasn't afraid. They smiled at me. They looked a little bit human. But I remember that. I'll never forget it. It's etched in my memory, and who knows what time stream that's in. But anyway,
did they almost look like the Silver Surfer?
Do what?
Did he look like the Silver Surfer? Superhero, Marvel Comics, Hero Silver Surfer?
No, they didn't.
Oh, I know the Silver Surfer well.
That's right. We have the old X-Men comics.
I was just curious.
No, they were kind of bright silver. They really were. They were reflective, and I thought that was odd.
That is so great. It was the Silver Surfer showing up to herald the fact that one day you would be doing this radio show and doing con things. He was foreshadowing.
Your Comic-Con?
Yeah,
exactly.
He came to warn us of the guy with the UFO in the front yard.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Oh, there's no
and then now,
for that, buddy. Nobody's ready for that.
I know. And now we're gonna have to go do an event with the UFO Welcome Center. That's going to be just the most fun. I tell you what, we've got about 5 minutes left because we're now on, for everybody's information, WLSC radio on Monday nights, 9 to 10 p.m. So we've got about 5 more minutes. Greg Bowe, I wanted to ask you, one of your best friends is your son, and he's got a wonderful wrestling career. And I know Papa Stroh might or might not have heard of what's the latest with Junior? Tell us about him.
Well, I tell you, he just got voted Rookie of the Year with APW. So that was pretty cool. And he's been hitting it hard. He's starting to hit some road shows now, away shows, but he's been wrestling every Saturday night now for the last year, a little over a year, with APW. Stroh, you probably know, like, Chief J. Eagle down there in he's down there in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and so that's pretty cool. And he's having a great time with it, so it's a blast. Because every time I go to a show and I come back and say, hey, man, yeah, Stroh was there, and we got to hang out and talk a little bit, he's like, oh, man, why didn't you tell me? I would have gone with you. He's like,
well,
I would have gone with you. I would have been talking to Stroh.
Well, Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant's birthday is coming up soon, and we celebrated his 70th birthday in Charlotte. In fact, I think, Stroh, you were there with us, and Greg Bowe, you and Misty, and Junior was there, and McKellar, all four of you were there. So we might just have to have a repeat of this and see if Jimmy's going to be back down over the Charlotte Comic-Con weekend, and we'll all get together and have breakfast again to celebrate that fine man's birthday. So
that would be great, because that'd be great. You know, I love Jimmy. I've known Jimmy a long time. He's a great guy. You mentioned Michaela. She is doing the announcing now and doing the interviews over at APW, and she's actually going to start reffing here soon and be APW's first female ref. And she goes by Mickey May over there at APW, and Junior and Michaela, I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, have come engaged. So that's new.
Congratulations. You've gained a future daughter-in-law.
Yes, I have. She's a good kid.
Well, that's great. Well, look, folks, first of all, thanks for being with us, all three of you. I'd like to go around the room, the virtual room, and see, because Papa Stroh taught me how to do this, see what have we got to plug for this weekend and the next weekend coming up. We'll start with Papa Stroh.
Oh, well, the next big event, well, actually, you know, I got two podcasts coming up in coming weeks. In the Room every Tuesday on VOCNation.com. And then WCW Retro every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on VOCNation.com. And, of course, Comic-Con starts on Thursday. And next weekend will be the Captain's Comics Expo in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, which I'll be there with Dr. John and Carolina Caricatures. Looking forward to that great event as well. And Checkpoint's hitting theaters all across the country this month, and it will be on Netflix in March. So check out Checkpoint when it comes to your town. Checkpoint starring Bill Goldberg, myself, Wayne Forsythe, Fred Williamson, all-star cast. So definitely check that out.
All right. Well, that sounds great. You know, Greg Bowe, I'm gonna go to you next, but I'm going to ask you, what is the name of the building where Captain's Expo is? I've drawn a blank, so just let us all know so that we don't have to look it up on the Internet. We can all just drive down there.
Well, apparently those little silver men got to you or something, because you just asked the most ADHD guy in the room. I don't know. Blondie's not here beside me. Blondie's the one that drives me to these things.
Oh, that's right. I remember now.
Yeah. Yeah, half the time I don't know where I'm going. But
well, it's out near Patriots Point. I know that.
It is out near Patriots Point. It's right there in the middle in that vicinity. If I remember correctly, I mean, to kind of give some kind of point of reference, it was within reasonable walking distance, you know, to some of the, you know, the Patriots Point attractions. So,
right.
So it's right there.
We'll just say Patriots Point. So other than Captains, what do you have coming up, Greg Bowe?
Oh gosh, I have, let's see, I've got Zenoscope Day coming up, April, but I've got Zenoscope Day coming up at Planet Comics down in Anderson, South Carolina. I'm going to be I'm going to be at Marble City Comic Con up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Carolina Caricature is going to be there. Pop Stroh, I think you talked, and you might be going to Marble City. Do you remember that date, Greg Bowe?
I'm starting to think y'all are stalking me. I don't remember.
We're not with the guy in the spaceship, trust me.
Oh, good. Then I'm safe. it would be on my Facebook. Again, you know, I'm sitting here on the phone, don't have Blondie beside me, and I'd ask her, but it's going to be
up in
Knoxville, Tennessee. And then, of course, I'm working on my book consistently, The Jill Tales, plus multiple projects here and there for Zenoscope and find comic publishers and purveyors everywhere. So
it's April 8th and 9th. I just found that out on the intranet.
Okay, well, I just told everybody March. So that ought to give you all a good lesson that better than ask me.
I'll stop asking you any days, but we hope to see you there. And last but not least, our author, Dave Atwell, you got some books coming out. What's coming out soon?
Sir, I'm still on book lockdown right now, so I probably won't be doing any appearances until XCon in Myrtle Beach in May 19th through the 21st. And then, of course, that's usually the launching pad for the con season for me. So from there, I'm going to pop up in any dark corner at all trying to panhandle some books. And totally expect that fourth book ready by Easter, which we'll be getting together on. But on a personal note, I would like to give a quick shout to my brother, Eric Stewart, who is actually driving to Virginia Saturday morning to do his first acting gig. And here's another guy like I was with writing a book that, you know, has worked all of his life and has always wanted to do something and has finally taking that step into the unknown. And so I just want to congratulate him and tell him well done, because it takes a lot of tomatoes to get up and finally do something you've been thinking about for years instead of going to your grave saying, man, I wish I could have, you know?
Kudos.
Well, it really does. All right. Well, look, gentlemen, thank you so much. Greg Bowe Watson, our special guest, our panelists and guests, Papa Stroh Maestro and Dave Atwell. This is Dr. John for Comic-Con Stars on the VOC Nation and WLSC Lawrence, South Carolina. Thanks, and we'll see you again next week.
Peace out, guys. Rock and roll.
Good night, everyone.